This week's show is dedicated to the life and memory of Brody Lee. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are, whatever time you're listening to this. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. My name is Jordan McClain, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Episode 9. Jeez, man. It's really... I'm still stunned. I'm 9 weeks into this thing and still stunned at the level of support that I've been getting throughout this entire thing. It sounds cheesy and it might even sound fake to some people, but genuinely, I don't know how in the world y'all choose to listen to me every week. But I appreciate that you do. I really genuinely from the bottom of my heart appreciate the fact that there are a ton of other wrestling podcasts. It feels like someone's starting one every single day. But the fact that you guys choose to listen to me as a part of how many ever podcasts you listen to, it means the world to me. It really does. And I don't do this for fame or anything like that. I'm not in it for any of that. And I think that's part of my message this week. You can't get caught up in the fame of things. As some people say, you can't get lost in the sauce. You know, this is a business of looks. This is a business of, in a lot of ways, numbers, just the entertainment business as a whole. You know, you're more likely to get an opportunity to get a look if you have a certain number of followers on your social media, or for, in my case, if you have a certain number of plays, you know, on your podcast or your video or whatever the case is. But I don't subscribe to all that. And I think that I think that more people should not subscribe to that idea. And the reason I think that is because you can get so lost in the numbers if you don't reach this certain threshold, this imaginary threshold that you put on yourself for this one video or whatever the case is, then you start feeling discouraged. And you start feeling down and you start, you know, that imposter syndrome shit starts taking over. And, you know, it can be real defeatist. But something that I learned over my few years in this business has been, it does not matter the number of times anyone has viewed anything or listened to anything or why, you know, none of that matters. In the grand scheme of things, you can have, speaking directly to, you know, you wrestlers out there, you can have one view on your match that you just posted 3 days ago. You can have one view. How do you know that that one view is not from the vice president of talent relations in a major organization? How do you know that one view on your promo is not from a wrestler that you idolize who can literally just retweet or share it one time and it blows up? How do you know? You don't. All you look at is you see that one view and you start getting discouraged and you say, damn, man, you know, I thought this was going to get buzz. I thought this was going to, you know, really get out there. You don't know who saw it, and you don't know what that one person can do for you. So I've learned to appreciate whether I get one listen or 100 listens or 1,000 listens, whether I get one view or 100 views or 1,000 views, whether I get one retweet, no retweets, it doesn't matter. In the grand scheme, that does not matter. Because just because you did not have that engagement doesn't mean that people did not see you. You don't know how many conversations I've been in that I have not actually been a part of. Let me say that again for the fools in the back. You don't know how many conversations I've been in that I have not been a part of. So don't get discouraged. Don't tell yourself you have to stop because some fictional threshold, some imaginary number was not met. Keep pressing forward. Keep doing you. And as long as you're true to yourself and true to what you want to do, and as long as you're having fun doing it, you may not get a lot of people to see what you're doing, but you'll get the right people to see what you're doing. And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. First up, we're talking about the Pro South Wrestling Anniversary Super Show 12, available right now over on the Pro South YouTube channel. This show was highly anticipated by me for a couple of reasons, and I'm really excited to review it, so let's get into it. First up, we've got triple threat action, Trevor Eon versus Eric Silva versus Austin Towers. The winner of this match moves on to face Tyler Culprit for the Pro South Heavyweight Championship in the main event of this show. I'll be honest with you guys, this was the match I was most excited for. If you know me, you know that I love all three of these guys individually. And also, I talked a couple of weeks ago on the show about how big of a deal it was that Pro South had put three black men in this position to possibly become champion. I think this was a great way to begin the night because one could argue that this match had the most tension and the deepest story on the entire card. The match started with all three men trading punches back and forth, showcasing how, although they're all different, they're equally yoked in a whole lot of ways. Towers and Silva hit a beautiful double team move before eventually squaring off with each other. Silva and Eon hit one on Towers shortly after that. This match, I think, was put together beautifully. They've done a fantastic job of allowing each competitor get shine and showcase himself. That, in turn, told a great story with the possibility of literally any of these men being able to win this match. Ultimately, we see Austin Towers win the match, and I think it was a beautiful win. I think it was a beautiful moment and a really great way to end this chapter of the Left Hand Path and of these three men. Towers' time is now. And I'm not just talking about in Pro South. In professional wrestling, period, this is Austin Towers' moment. However, I'm really excited to see where this leaves Trevor Eon and Eric Silva going into the future of Pro South. Next up, we got James Hardy, who was supposed to be defending his YouTube championship against a mystery opponent. That opponent ended up being Shane Knowles. This was pretty exciting for me because I've only seen both of these men wrestle a handful of times. It was a very solid, entertaining matchup that, of course, ended up in foolery. Shane Knowles picked up the win, but because he challenged for James's commentary spot instead of the YouTube championship, James Hardy remains your YouTube champion. It wasn't much, but it was damn sure fun. And I really, really enjoy seeing this side of James Hardy. Moving along, we've got Attempted Murder, Dorian and Aleister Crowe taking on Reynolds and his mystery tag team partner, who we learned to be Brian Alexander. Now, I personally am not familiar with Brian Alexander, But I really dug the vibe that he brought to the table. So this match started funny. The match ended up in the beginning feeling more like a singles match. It was as if Reynolds and Brian Alexander wanted to test each other's crazy. So after all that, Attempted Murder remained in solid control for much of this match, keeping Brian Alexander away from Reynolds. They've done a great job at that. However, the tricky part was, even when Brian Alexander did get close enough to tag, Reynolds would take his hand away a couple of times before he finally got himself the hot tag and came in like a house on fire. I really like Reynolds. I do. I like his style and his vibe. He's got a great presence. And despite his size, Reynolds has a style that I believe could be a problem against just about anyone. Very few wrestlers can step into a ring and look like they can kick anyone's ass. Reynolds has that presence about him. In the end, though, Attempted Murder gets the win over Reynolds and Brian Alexander with the help of some mist, and it caused Reynolds to actually snap the neck of Brian Alexander. It was, as someone personally who hates the sound of, like, cracking bones, I don't even like when people crack their knuckles around me. That was very painful to see. It wasn't a good look for me once I seen it. But overall, man, I really want to see Reynolds around. I do. I see a lot of potential in him and in this character. I see a whole lot of potential. So in the next match, we've got Shane Mako taking on Scott Patterson. As soon as the bell rang, Scott Patterson laid into Shane Mako with some really heavy strikes and stomps. After that initial burst, though, the match became pretty much even with both men having their moments of being in control. I really like seeing matches like this one in the midst of a wrestling card. It's even. There's no clear-cut advantage by either competitor. It's just a good-paced match for a big show, especially after we just had these two crazy matches. This was a good match, I think, to just kind of slow everybody's adrenaline down a little bit, ease everybody out. I really like Shane Mako. I do believe I've said on the show before, but I'll reiterate it here. I see a very bright future for Shane Mako in professional wrestling. He's got a great look, a killer gimmick, a great presence. Mako actually picked up the win in this matchup via submission. And I think that was a very solid win for him. It was a great showing for Scott Patterson, and this was an overall great match, I believe. Our next match sees Cameron Keast defend the All Out Championship against my guy, Brandon Watley. So the story with this one is interesting, because Amy Haven actually gave Cameron the option to pick his opponent, and he picked Brandon Watley. They said because he considered Brandon Watley to be a night off. I believe leading up to this match, Cameron Keast had beaten Brandon Watley like twice. So right before things get started in the match, Amy actually announces that there will be a special guest referee, and that referee is Harley Haven. Great turn of events as far as I'm concerned. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and we still seen that in this match as well. Brandon Watley showed some fantastic aggression against Cameron Keast, and I love it. I want to see this side of Brandon Watley even more. You know, also something that happened in this match, Roma Miller got involved, and he got sent to the back for his trouble, which popped the crowd huge. They hate Roma Miller. They hate that dude. But that's a testament to him. He's very good at what he does. Cameron Keast stayed in control for a good part of this match. I think he moved really well against Brandon Watley. You know, he used his speed to kind of counteract Brandon's aggression, which I thought was a very smart tactic. You know, if someone's coming at you real aggressive, if you have the upper hand as far as speed goes, let him tire himself out. And that's what it felt like Cameron Keith was trying to do. You know, like I said, Brandon's striking was really showcased well in this match. This was some, he had some well-placed, hard-hitting strikes that was actually followed up by a scissors kick to end this match. And Brandon Whatley is now your new Pro South All Out champion. So shout out to the homie. Super proud of him for that, because Brandon is one of those guys that works hard as hell. He really does. Any chance he gets to work at his craft, he works really hard. So big shout out to him for that. We come back from intermission with Black Lariats Matter taking on the Glass Ceiling for the Pro South Tag Team Championships in what is now an unsanctioned matchup. So, basically, these four dudes woke up and just chose chaos. Like, they came out of the back fighting. Once the match officially got started, Black Lariats Matter stayed firmly in control for the most part. Commentary pointed out that Joe Black was not at 100%. And it's a crazy thought, because Joe was not missing a beat. So Joe being injured and still moving and working better than a lot of talent gives very serious credence to the argument that Joe Black is the best wrestler in the game today. I really love the storytelling during this match, especially from Ace Haven, with him being so enraged and wanting to be in so bad and get mostly at Huckabee that it was almost a detriment to his team. For much of the storytelling, it felt like Damian and Ace were just intentionally trying to keep Joe out of the way and only get to Huckabee, like I said. And small details like that can really, really make a matchup. This match took a very dark turn when a chair got involved. So I won't tell y'all everything that went down. You have to go to Pro South's YouTube and watch it. But the storytelling from this point forth, absolutely phenomenal. I loved it so much. The match ending the way it did was phenomenal. Up to this point, I believe this match 1000% was match of the night, just from a storytelling standpoint alone. Next up, Roma Miller is back out and he demands a match for the anniversary show, and we get Waylon Rhodes again, someone I'm not very familiar with, but I'm excited that we got him. I believe that this was one of those matches that was put together strictly for Pro South's nostalgia and entertainment's sake. We see these style of matches on every level of wrestling. Hell, sometimes we even see it at WrestleMania. And I think for what it was, it done a great job. The crowd was really into it because they love seeing Waylon back. And like I said earlier, universally, this crowd absolutely despises Roma Miller. They hate that dude. It was a good, entertaining match that it done exactly what it was supposed to do. Roma Miller gets the win, and I gotta say, I'm ready to see Roma Miller break out. I just became acquainted with him in the earlier part of this year, I believe, but I think Roma is ready to have a really solid storyline and a good solo run. You know, other than his feud with Ace in Pro South, it feels like Roma hasn't really had that thing, like that moment, his big moment. I'm ready for him to have that moment. Now, we move on to our main event. Austin Towers challenging Tyler Colpret for the Pro South Heavyweight Championship. Before we can even begin the match, Tyler attacks the hell out of Towers with that umbrella. Some huge shots straight to the head. But of course, Towers kept going. Again, I think this is storytelling at its finest. I don't think I've spoken about him at length on this show before, but I'm really impressed with Tyler Corporat. Every match feels like Tyler, even if he isn't physically in control, is mentally in control every step of the way. He's a very cerebral performer. He began the match with mind games, but also ended up utilizing all the tools that he had early on to take out Towers. You know, every move he did was as if he'd calculated it and thought a couple of steps ahead. Towers had gotten some offense in, but the match was mostly in favor of Culprit. And I think Austin showed fantastic storytelling by selling his earlier match, the Triple Threat. So we got a sighting from Attempted Murder, Reynolds, and Eric Silva. And after all of that, we get a new Pro South Heavyweight Champion in Austin Towers. Now, Towers has won championships before, but I know that this one was very special and important to him. I mention all the time how I followed Towers' career from the Green Wall up until now. And he's openly said that Pro South was really the first company to embrace him as a performer. So I know that this one was pretty special for him. I'm super proud of him for everything he's been accomplishing. I believe going into the new year as a triple champion, I believe he's heading. Matter of fact, no, I don't even believe. I can confirm. He's going into the new year as a triple champion. He is a champion in three separate promotions. Big shout out to him. And big shout out to Pro South for an absolutely awesome show. I love this show from top to bottom. There was some fantastic storytelling. I'm excited to see, because a lot of these stories felt like resets, so I'm excited to see where things start going post-anniversary show. What's going to happen with Towers and Silva and Eon? Where's Roma going to go? What's up with Damian Serotonin and Ace Haven? What about Black Lives Matter? Black Lariats Matter, even though Black Lives Matter too. Yeah, I'm really, really excited to see what's happening at Pro South, man. So, big shout out to them for a great show and congratulations on 12 years. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking Major League Wrestling. This is the Opera Cup 2020 Finals. Unfortunately, my pick, ACH, didn't make it here, but that's okay because I know the matchup that we do end up with is going to turn up. Before I continue, I want to give MLW a shout out for their presentation. I'm almost certain that I've praised it here before, but I love what they do. Their matches all have importance and they fill up their hour-long shows very well with promos and interviews. Nothing is out of place. Nothing is random. It's all completely intentional. And honestly, some of the major promotions can't even get that right, pre-recorded or not. So credit where it's due. I want to give a big shout out to MLW just for their presentation, how they put their shows together. It's very beautiful. First up, we've got the Dirty Blondes representing the Stud Stable, taking on Ariel Dominguez and Daniel Starling from the very beginning. Okay, from the very beginning of this match, the Dirty Blondes were in full control with some serious brawling offense. Dominguez actually got taken out pretty early and there was no muss, no fuss to this matchup. The Dirty Blondes worked well together. They got a very clean and decisive 1-2-3 and we've got a victory for the Stud Stable. So after this, we get a package for the Kings of Coliseum event that MLW is allowing to be for free this year on January the 6th. Of course, your boy will be covering that one. And since this show that I'm talking about now is so short, I want to go over that card as of this viewing and talk about what's going to happen on January the 6th. First up, Simon Gotch and Jordan Oliver will be facing off in a grudge match. I've talked about Jordan Oliver a few times on this show already, so you know how I feel about him. If you don't, head back into the archives and you'll figure it out. Simon Gotch, though, I have yet to mention. Now, I must say, out of everyone who's left the E in the past few years, Simon Gotch is one of those names that I see consistently working. He signed with MLW, but he's made his way all over the indies, even down here in Tennessee a few times. Listen, we stand a working worker, okay? And I expect this match to be bomb as hell. The next match will be the Dirty Blondes taking on the Von Erichs for the World Tag Team Championships. I love that the Von Erichs are still pushing and getting somewhat of a newfound fame among wrestling fans. I know that wrestling purists and old school fans recognize the name just fine, but a lot of newer fans may not be that familiar with the Von Erichs and their legacy in professional wrestling. This iteration of the Von Erichs has been doing a great job, and I cannot wait to see them come head to head with the Dirty Blondes. The Impresaria, Selena De La Renta, makes her return to MLW with a bombshell after some time away. Super excited about this because, quiet as it's kept, I believe Selena De La Renta is one of the best wrestling personalities on any level in the game today. She's believable, and this build-up that MLW has been doing for her has been absolutely incredible. Next, for the World Middleweight Championship, we've got champion Myron Reed taking on Leo Rush. I don't really need to see any more matches other than this one, honestly. This one will be my match of the night. I already know that. All the other matches look fantastic. I know the overall show is going to be great. But this match, I already know, for me personally, will be match of the night. These are two wrestlers that I've been watching closely. Leo has had a banner year after leaving the E in early 2020. Y'all know, what was it, a couple of weeks ago when I talked about GCW Slime Season, I said Leo Rush and Blake Christian had one of my favorite wrestling matches of all time. For sure, my favorite independent wrestling match of all time. So I'm really excited to see him now in MLW taking on Myron Reed. And Myron Reed, I've talked about on this show before as well, he is one of the fastest rising stars in the business today. I'm telling you, this is going to be my match of the night. This shit gone bang, dog. Do you hear me? This gone bang. Next up, for the National Openweight title, we've got Alex Hammerstone versus the Black Hand of Contra, Mads Kruger. Y'all already know what's going on and what I'm going to say about this match. Big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. I'm super impressed with Mads Kruger, and I think an argument could be made that Alex Hammerstone is the best thing MLW has going for them. You know, his presence alone is enough to make you stop and pay attention. So far, this looks like an absolutely fantastic card. I don't know if we're going to get any more match announcements, maybe, maybe not, I'm not sure, but I know that I cannot wait to talk about this show in a couple of weeks. As far as tonight's show, or rather this show that I am currently speaking of, we now move on to the main event and the finals of the 2020 Opera Cup, Filthy Tom Lawler versus Low Key. I'm glad this tournament actually came down to these two, although my pick was not one of these two. I'm glad that it came down to these two because there's fantastic storytelling in just the presence of them being across the ring from each other. I really enjoyed that Low Key brought out the Von Erichs to even the playing field against Tom Lawler and Team Filthy. Kind of gets you set up a little bit for the Von Erichs and their big matchup on January the 6th. This match had a big fight feel from the very beginning, and that's because it genuinely is. I say that quite a few times, that this match had a big fight feel. This was a big fight feel, not only because it was the finals of the Opera Cup, but just because of the storyline between these two, having faced off, I believe, in title matches twice before. Yes, this match had a big fight feel, and that's because it's legitimately a big fight. Tom Lawler, up to this point, has been built as an absolute beast. Low Key has been built as the fighting underdog. Commentary did a great job, I think, of acknowledging throughout this match how dangerous both of these dudes are. You know, I've spoken before about Loki's known ability to knock out an opponent in any second. Tom Lawlor has the submission game on lock, which he kind of displayed early on in this match, you know, kind of locking up Loki. I like how even this match was in the first few minutes. Both men, they were going hold for hold, move for move, before coming to a stalemate with each other. They came at a standstill with each other. There was no clear advantage over either person. You know, like I said, they've faced each other before. So, you know, the storytelling was they kind of know each other's moves. They kind of know where each other is going to go. And that kind of wrestling and presentation makes it very easy to get lost in the matchup. This was, I think, a great match for young wrestlers to study, especially those technical wrestlers out there. Another beautiful side of this match was the lack of bumps. So I've been seeing more and more veterans telling young wrestlers who may or may not listen to limit their bumps. And a lot of young wrestlers don't like to do that. I've noticed a lot of them think that you have to have the huge spots and big bumps in order to keep the crowd involved. But I think this match is both an exception and an example of that. One of the veterans, I wish I could remember his name to properly give him credit, but he said something to the effect of, if you limit your bumps, you extend your life. And I think that's a perfect, easygoing saying. Shout out to whomever first said that. Limit your bumps, extend your life. So these two are well-rounded performers with multiple techniques in their arsenal. And I think that that's why they didn't have to go bump for bump, spot for spot, excuse me. While everyone won't be able to do that at the level of these two gentlemen, I would definitely recommend these two performers as two to watch and study how to get it done if that's something that you're interested in. Something else that I really loved and I think worked well in this match was Lawlor kind of picking Loki apart. You know, he went after different parts of Loki, which made sense strategy-wise because Loki can knock you out with any of his limbs. So working each limb and kind of breaking each limb down is a great strategy and I think great storytelling. After the initial feeling out moments of this match from both competitors, things pretty much began going in Tom Lawlor's way. And again, that was a very solid storytelling decision. Tom Lawlor did a beautiful combination key lock and figure four leg lock at the same time. That's another thing that I really love about MLW's presentation. They don't shy away and tell the MMA fighters to mute that side of their training. They embrace it. And then you end up seeing great maneuvers, beautiful moves like that one in particular. The end of this match was beautifully done. So Loki hit Tom Lawlor square in the head with a big time rolling kick. But Tom Lawlor used the momentum of the kick to simply fall forward, fold Loki up, and become the 2020 Opera Cup winner. It was a fantastic close to a great and simple show. We're now headed to the Kings of Coliseum event in January, and I'm excited. MLW is putting together some great, great stuff with their product, man. Big shout out to them. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you are hearing right now, be sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any number of other podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep the conversation going. Let's get back to the show. Finally, we have come to the brass ring segment of our show this week. For those who don't know, this segment of the show is where I feature a special person that I think, if given the opportunity, can do big things on a bigger platform. This week, I'm giving the brass ring to Isaiah Broner. I first became acquainted with Isaiah Broner just this year when I watched the Black Wrestlers Matter event that took place a few months ago. And as soon as I seen him, as soon as I laid eyes on the 7 Mile Destroyer, long before I even thought about this podcast, I knew that I had to keep tabs on this guy. Coincidentally, after I started this podcast, he popped up in an episode of OVW that I reviewed, and it was basically confirmation for me that, okay, this is somebody, Jordan, that you need to pay attention to. Let's start with his look. You know how in film and television, there's that one bouncer at the bar that'll let you get all your energy out. He'll let you do all that rah-rah shit, won't even make a move. And then he'll just throw you through a plate glass window. That's what Isaiah Broner looks like to me. Isaiah Broner looks like the dude that you don't want to run into when you know you done fucked up. Very few men can intimidate me. And I ain't scared of nobody worth a damn. But I'm also not going to intentionally get on Isaiah Broner's bad side. Outside of his look, his in-ring work is fantastic. Watching him, you'll learn that he is a... This man is... He's power personified. That's the easiest way to put it. This dude is freakishly strong, and he puts it on display in every single match he's in. Along with that power, he's incredibly agile. Every match that I've seen of his footwork and his movement has been damn near impeccable. He has an explosiveness about him that I love seeing. You know what I mean? He has that thing about him that... Is he going to spear this dude out of midair? Is he going to throw this dude out of nowhere? Who the hell knows? That's what I see when I see Isaiah Broner. If there is a such thing as a total package, Isaiah Broner is it. And if he is not it, he's one of the closest men to being a total package. From what I see following his social media, following his career, he's very focused on what he's doing, and he progresses every time he steps through the curtain. I may have to get him in here for an interview soon. I want to know more about this guy, man, and I really think that he is going places. Isaiah Broner is one to look out for, man. There's a handful of guys that I really think 2021 is going to treat them so well in this wrestling business. Isaiah Broner, 1,000%, is one of those guys. That's why this week I am giving Isaiah Broner the brass ring. That's all I got for you this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. You could have been listening to anybody right now, but you chose to listen to me, and for that, I am forever grateful. I said something in the beginning of the show, and I just want to say it, reiterate it now, man. Rest in peace to Brody Lee, man. I don't even really have it in me to do a whole outro right now because I'm recording this maybe an hour after finding out Brody Lee died, and my heart's not really in it right now, y'all. I'm not even gonna lie. As I know most of y'all, you know, are feeling the same way. It hurts. There's no other way to put it, man. Brody Lee, as Luke Harper in WWE, was one of my favorite performers to the point where I ended up searching for Brody Lee content because I loved Luke Harper that much. And, you know, to see him bounce back from leaving WWE and go to AEW and everything he did with the Dark Order, it's, you know, I didn't watch AEW, but I kept up, and I kept up well enough to see what he was doing as one of my favorites, man. It sucks, man. shit, this fucking sucks. But yeah, follow me everywhere, man. Like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff. I really don't have it this week, y'all. Once again, rest in peace, Brody Lee. I love you guys, man. Genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, if you're listening to this, I love you. Thank you so much for listening, man. Love yourself and love each other, man.